Hi, I'm David Abramson, and this is Insights from Beyond, celebrating Judaism in the New Age. Tonight we might have a guest, and if we do, he's not online yet, so we'll keep it a surprise. However, we have an interesting show lined up, I hope, one way or the other. So please do stay tuned. We'll be back after these commercial breaks. Hi, welcome back. I'm David Abramson, and this is Insights from Beyond. And Mr. Martin Sussman is online with us, and he's the director of the Cambridge Institute for Better Vision, located in Massachusetts. I was afraid that he wasn't going to be able to be on tonight, but Baruch Hashem, he is. And he's got quite an interesting well, Martin, what exactly is it? How should I express this? The Institute for Better Vision that you run in Massachusetts is very unique, and
I do think it's very unique. What the Cambridge Institute for Better Vision does is teach people how to take care of their eyes in a non-traditional, unorthodox, or non-medical way. And it teaches people who care about their eyes and care about maintaining their eyesight practical and easy-to-use techniques and training methods to improve their vision and to maintain the health of their eyesight.
You started this probably based on the Dr. Bates methods.
Well, I actually started teaching people about improving their vision and taking care of their eyesight because I was nearsighted. I started to need glasses when I was about 8 years old, and I just noticed that year after year after year after year, my glasses got stronger and stronger, and my eyes got weaker and weaker. Then when I was in my mid-20s, I looked at a book on improving vision by Dr. Bates, who was an ophthalmologist who lived in the early 1900s. And I began to try to improve my own eyesight. And that was how the journey began. And eventually, as I was improving my own vision, I began teaching other people the same things that I was learning for myself. And one thing led to another, and the Institute was created as a result of all of that.
It's Dr. Bates was ahead of his time, so some people might disagree, but he was essentially the first person to come up with this type of exercise for the eyes, and he's saying that people don't ultimately always need glasses, and there is a way around them, and there is a way to actually improve one's eyesight naturally. Was he in fact the first, or were there others besides him?
He was the first American to really talk about improving vision, and that's what Dr. Bates talked about, and that's what we at the Institute teach people. One of the things we teach people is how to improve their eyesight and to reduce or eliminate or postpone the need for glasses. And for many people, that sounds like a strange idea because it's so common to have poor eyesight. But I've worked with 35 or 40,000 people throughout the United States and the rest of the world, actually. And I've seen some amazing things happen with people's eyesight once they start to take the time to get rid of visual stress and to train themselves to see properly again.
That's a lot of people. What does the establishment think about this? I guess it's the
ophthalmologist and the optometrist. What does the regular medical establishment think about it?
Right.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, there's of course many traditional doctors who think that the only help for bad vision is glasses or contact lenses. But
and now they're advocating surgery also, I believe.
Right, there's now a surgery that's out for nearsightedness as well. But I've talked to many, many doctors who do vision training and who teach people that they can take care of their eyes and teach them the proper techniques. And it's amazing, but I see over and over and over again that people can keep their eyesight and keep their eyesight as clear and as sharp as it could possibly be.
It seems so amazing and almost impossible to believe, I guess, unless one's been through it. I find that somehow relaxing and the way I eat has something to do with my vision. I'm sure there are a lot of different theories. What do you advocate in the institute that you are running up in Massachusetts?
Well, let's just start with what you mentioned there, because I think many people experience that, and that's a good starting point. Many of our people who are listening tonight, I would imagine, notice that their vision fluctuates, that there are times perhaps in the morning when it's clearer than other times, or there are times when it's less clear, or perhaps they notice if they use a computer or read a lot, that after prolonged reading, their eyesight's a little bit less clear. So they notice that there's fluctuations in their vision just normally from day to day. And that's a good sign, because it shows you that your vision is changing and is changeable. And what we do at the Institute is just work from that basic premise that you can change your vision, and then teach you the right ways to use your eyes, the right ways to relax your eyes and rest your eyes, and the right ways to move and exercise your eyes to improve your eyesight.
It's very different. I am aware of some of the ideas that are presented on the program that you have, the program for better vision, which incidentally our listeners know is advertised on this show. Could you summarize for us some of the techniques that you found, from this program or from some of the other programs and seminars which you do up in Massachusetts?
Sure. There's three or four different things that the eyes are supposed to do easily and naturally. One thing that they're supposed to do is to move easily, so that unconsciously when we decide we want to focus on the clock across the room or the street sign down the road or the words on the page, that our eyes are supposed to quickly and easily respond to the commands of our mind. And if there's tension in the muscles around the eyes or the focusing system inside the eyes, they won't respond quickly and easily to the commands of the mind. So some of the exercises that we teach are designed to restore flexibility and coordination so the eyes follow naturally the commands of the mind. Another skill that the eyes have to do is they have to work together equally and in coordination with the brain. We know that we need two eyes, for example, to have good depth perception, to be able to park a car and to parallel park and get close to the curb and not hit the car in front or behind us, or to be able to judge distances properly, or even to read. It requires that our eyes work together. So if there are problems in our eyes working together, which may not necessarily have anything to do with how clearly we see, but if there are problems in the ways that our eyes work together, we will experience the symptoms associated with that. So we may find that we have poor depth perception, or we may find that our eyes get tired, or we lose our concentration when we read, or we may find that we get headaches and strain when we read or watch TV. And those are symptoms of visual tension, and though they might not be problems connected to simply acuity. Another thing that's important for our eyes to do is to use our peripheral vision. We are looking at one thing that we want to see clearly, but there's so much more that's coming into our eyes as well, and it's important many people have problems with the balance between peripheral vision and what we're directly focused on. And if there are problems there, again, that could lead to visual stress and visual strain. So there's many, and those are just a few of the things that we touch on, but there are many parts to vision and visual health and visual balance. And what we do at the Institute here is teach people how to improve their overall visual health and visual balance. And like I said before, many people are extremely surprised with the results that they get.
Yeah, it really is such a different kind of a program, especially, I mean, most people probably have not even heard about anything like
that. Well, you know, it's different. In a way, it's different, but in a way, if you stop, or if our listeners stop and think about it for a minute, it's not that strange. We know that we can exercise the rest of our bodies, and we know how important exercise and relaxation and stretching are for the rest of our bodies. And we know that if we do those things, that it'll keep us healthy, keep us vital, and keep us energetic throughout our lives. And the same thing is true, and it just is a matter of applying that concept to our eyes and to our vision. There are muscles that control how we focus. There are muscles that move our eyes. And there is also a system of coordination between the eyes and the brain. And so those different parts of our visual system can be trained and exercised and relaxed and respond to those things just like there are other parts of our body. So it's not that strange of an idea, but it is something that many people haven't heard of. And why they haven't heard of it is probably a combination of different things.
Because essentially of the way the establishment is going in sense of looking for to treat the effect as opposed to the cause, or not people not having enough time in our society also to step back and to spend time to relax and to close their eyes or to meditate during the day. Probably this you have assessed in your institute also has something to do with it, at least for some of the people, I imagine.
Well, you know, about 10 years ago, I was talking to an optometrist who was attending one of my seminars in California. And on the break, I said to him, how come he doesn't have a bigger practice of people coming to see him who want to improve their vision? And he said to me, well, I offer vision improvement training, but I only offer it to my patients who ask for it. Now, I laughed. Because I talk to patients, you know, people on the other side, and they say, well, I've never heard about it. My doctor never told me about it. So it's like on the one hand that he was waiting for the patients to ask, and on the other hand, the patients are waiting for the doctors to offer. So there's a little bit of a lack of communication there and nobody taking the first step. The other thing that's true is that if you go back maybe 20 or 30 years ago and you talk to most doctors, they would at that time say, oh, exercise, there's no real proof, there's no scientific evidence that exercise is good for you. Sure, you can exercise if it makes you feel better, but there's no scientific proof that it's good for you. Well, that was 20 or 30 years ago, and since then, there's been a lot of scientific proof that shows that exercise is good for your body. Well, what's happening with vision is that there hasn't been a wealth of scientific money and time and effort put into researching the problems of poor vision. And so there may not be the scientific proof to back up what I've noticed year after year after year with so many people, that vision does improve when you take the time to exercise and relax and train your eyesight.
Martin, I have some more questions for you, and along these lines too, about research and whatnot as well. I want to remind our listeners that if they have any questions, and if you want to take the other side of this issue, for the most part, I think we're prepared. I think Martin certainly is prepared. Call us at 627-1300 if you'd like to discuss this issue. I know a lot of people in our audience probably wear glasses and probably have been resolved to this idea from a long time. I know there was a certain sense of disbelief that I had, that, you know, feeling that if anyone ever needed glasses or vision correction, you know, optometrically, that this was the end of the matter and there was, you know, it was just the way of life. But, you know, it says in the Torah that, that God heals us and he won't send us any of the machas, any of the plagues that, that were sent on the Egyptians in the Mitzrim. So we know, I mean, and from a strong part of us, deep within, that we know somehow it is possible to get beyond this, or that it somewhere, somehow, it is a possibility. And yet it's not been talked about by the medical establishment so much. So call in and tell us what you think. 627-1300. In the meantime, Martin, this is, again, Martin Sussman, director of the Cambridge Institute for Better Vision, and I guess you must be near Cambridge.
That's right. We're about 20 minutes outside of Cambridge in the suburbs.
Makes sense. That's essentially in the Boston area, right?
That's right.
And you're conducting the seminars that you do. Those are those basically getaways where people are coming in, or do you offer seminars in different regions of the country as well?
Well, you know, I have a history of doing this work. I've been offering vision improvement since 1976, and for the first 10 years, from 76 to 86, all I did was travel around the United States and Canada offering weekend seminars for people, you know, getaway weekend seminars where they really could focus in on improving their vision. But since 86, what I've spent more time doing is writing and creating programs that people anywhere in the country and the world could use. So I've spent time putting together the groundbreaking program for better vision, which is a home study program that people can use step by step at home to help their eyesight.
Marty, I would want you to tell us more about that, but we do have some callers.
Great.
So let's go to the line.
Okay.
Hi, Connie. You're on line one. You're on Insights from Beyond.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, speak up real loud, though.
Hello, I would like to know from the doctor if there's anything to do for elderly person who, my grandfather, he reads a lot, and he sits and he learns a lot, and he just has, you know, many times his eyes like literally hurt him, he has to go to sleep. He doesn't have too much strain, pressure on the eyes. So we tried getting a light for him, and we tried magnifying glass and a book stand, and it's still bothering him.
Do you know if he has any medical problems like cataract or glaucoma?
Yeah, he does have a cataract in one eye. But the eye doctor said they wouldn't do anything about it at this point. It's not really...
Because it isn't serious enough yet to operate on?
No, not... they wouldn't operate on it, no, because he's an elderly person, and it's not so bad.
Okay. A couple of recommendations for you. One thing is tomorrow morning I would recommend that you call the Institute, because we have connections with an ophthalmologist who treats cataracts when they're early, like they are for your father.
Grandfather.
Sorry.
What's the number?
Number of the Institute, it's toll-free. It's
800-372-
3937.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Now, since we're brought up the subject of cataracts, I talked before about scientific literature and that there isn't a lot of scientific literature for vision improvement. Well, that's true for the exercises for the eyes, but what is true is that there is quite a bit of literature, scientific research within the last 4 or 5 years that shows that there is an incredible amount of hope and help for people with early stages of cataracts if they know what nutrition and what nutritional supplements to take. They actually can help stop the cataract from getting worse and in some cases maybe even have it disappear completely.
Without surgery?
Without surgery, absolutely.
Oh, that's really interesting. Thank you.
So call the Institute tomorrow and we can send you some free information about that.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you for being on, honey.
Okay, good.
Okay, Moshe, you're on Insights from Beyond. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't have the best vision, and I don't understand what do you do to improve the vision.
Okay.
This is a good opportunity to tell us more about the course, Marty. No.
Right, I can tell you a little bit about the program for better vision. Now, there's about 25 or 30 different kinds of exercises in there, but let me see if I can just quickly describe one of them or the purpose of one of them. If you're not seeing clearly, like if you're nearsighted and you can't see things far away, is that your problem, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, so the further things get away from you, the harder they are to see.
Right.
How old are you?
Yeah, I'm not good.
Okay, and how long have you been needing glasses? About how many years?
4.
Okay. Have your glasses gotten stronger over the last 4 years?
Yes.
Okay, so your vision's been getting worse.
Right.
Okay, so something's been happening with your own eyes to make your vision get worse. What's happening there is that the part of the eye that focuses to make you see clearly, it's called the lens of the eye. What's happening with the lens of the eye is that it is getting stuck in a sense. And how it's getting stuck is that it focuses on things up close, but it doesn't relax enough so that it can focus clearly on things far away. It's like if you had a camera and you're trying to change the focus of the camera, but for some reason it's stuck and it won't focus on things that are far away. Well, so what we try to do with the program for better vision, the home study course, is we give you exercises that actually teach your eyes how to relax and teach that lens to relax in such a way so that it can start again to focus on things that are far away. And I always like to tell people that even though nobody likes their vision getting worse, it's actually good that your vision does get worse because it shows you that your vision does change. The difference is that what I can show you through the Institute's programs is a way to make it change for the better, not just for the worse. So I'd recommend that you also call the Institute tomorrow. We can send you some free information.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Mosh. Heikel, you're on Insights from Beyond.
Yes, I used to wear glasses, but now I stopped wearing glasses. Did it affect my vision?
That's very interesting. First, and you can tell us also what inspired you to do that, because most people aren't that in touch with their intuition or if they're feeling that way. And so I'm sorry, Marty, you know, you heard his question. I didn't mean to interrupt either.
Well, that's okay. I actually didn't hear the second part to it. You stopped wearing glasses and what?
Would it affect my vision?
You mean is it bad for your eyes?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's a good question. Lots of people ask that, and the basic answer is no. What I find is that if you don't wear glasses, now of course you're not going to see clearly, that just taking your glasses off is not going to make your vision get any clearer, but it also is not going to make your vision get worse year after year. Like that other person who just called and said over 4 years their glasses got stronger and stronger. Part of the reason is because they're using glasses, and that encourages their vision to decline. So most people that I know who take their glasses off or who use them a lot less, it stabilizes their vision. So that's a myth that people have, that if you don't wear glasses, it's bad for your eyes. that's a myth. And it's not true that your eyes are going to get worse just by taking your glasses off. Of course, you don't see well, and there's something you should do to make yourself have the best vision you can have.
I could see pretty well.
Okay. All right. Well, if you're happy with the vision that you have and it works for you, well then, that's good. But the myth that it's bad for your eyes if you don't wear your glasses is just that. It's a myth. And it's one of the four or five myths that we like to explode for people.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
We have an anonymous question here also. Is it bad for your eyes if you tend to squint?
Well, yes. Yes, it is. Because what squinting is really doing is telling you, obviously, you're squinting because you can't see clearly. And squinting is a way of straining or trying to see. And any kind of trying or straining in your eyes is not good for your vision. In fact, strain and tension is what causes unclear vision in the first place. So if you continue to strain and squint, that's not good for your eyes.
Okay.
One of the exercises in the program for better vision, it teaches people how to relax their eyes and how to relax their seeing so they're not straining and trying to see. And by the way, that caller just mentioned about not wearing glasses. I want to make it clear that I do not recommend that people take their glasses off and throw them away. That's not realistic, nor is it the best step for most people to take. What I do with the home study program for better vision is show you how you can step by step have your eyesight get clearer and clearer. And as you go back to your eye doctor and he or she tests your vision, you can discover that your own eyes get sharper and sharper and your glasses need to be weaker and weaker.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Actually, there's a National Squinting Society also, isn't there?
A what?
I don't know. I don't think it's a joke. I heard that there is a group of people that they don't like to wear their glasses and they just don't. They just they don't really have any programs for it, but I heard that there really was a national
joking.
I don't know, maybe.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. We have some more callers. Do we have some time, Martin?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Connie, no, this is Chaim, yes?
Hello?
Yes?
Hi.
Is it bad for your eyes? Is it bad for your eyes to read in the dark?
Well, everyone knows that one.
Well, I mean, you can't see anything in the dark, can you?
No, but let's say you try to read in the dark. Is it bad?
What's important is not what you do. So it doesn't matter if you read in the dark or try to watch TV or read in the light or whatever it is. It's not what you do with your eyes. It's learning the right way to use your eyes.
And once you
learn the right way to use your eyes, it doesn't matter what you do because you know how to use them. You know how to rest them.
Right. And also, does carousel improve your eyesight?
Well, I have a button that I wear. It says, "Don't tell me about carrots improving my eyesight." I tried sticking one in my eye the other day, and it's like hell.
No, if you like, eat it.
Oh, eat it? Oh, I see what you're saying. That was a bad attempt at humor on my part.
No, it's great.
Oh, okay.
Vitamin A is one of the nutrients that's good for your eyes, but it's only one of the nutrients. It's important to also get vitamin C, vitamin E, selenium, chromium, manganese, and a few other trace minerals as well. Again, I encourage you and other people to call the Institute because we do have nutritional supplements that have been shown to be helpful to the eyes.
Okay, and also I'd like
to... Oh, you got a lot of questions there.
I have one more, okay?
Okay.
I also like to know if, let's say, you don't have glasses and you wear someone else's glasses, does it ruin your eyesight?
Well, you wouldn't wear somebody else's shoes, or, you know, I wouldn't.
Yeah, but let's see. I'm going to try it on for a certain reason.
Well, sure, you can try them on if you want to. It's not going to kill you.
And it wouldn't ruin your eyesight?
Not if you just try them on, no.
For like 5 minutes?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Very much.
Okay. Marty raised an interesting question, though, that a lot of people do feel, you know, when they try on a pair of glasses, that they go, wow, ow, that really hurts. Have we grown accustomed to seeing from glasses? That's part of the problem also, though, in a way, isn't it? I mean, that we're kind of getting used to something very powerful.
People think about glasses as this blanket thing, and the truth is that I work with optometrists all across the country who know how to prescribe special kind of glasses for you to use so that you're able to see what you need to see. But those glasses can actually help you when you're doing an exercise program improve as much as possible.
Are they lighter than what would be recommended normally, or by more by most
They are called undercorrected lenses, undercorrected glasses. What that means is that rather than, if you're nearsighted, rather than helping you read the bottom line on the eye chart, you may be able with those glasses to read the second or the third line up from the bottom line. And so that's strong enough to be able to still pass your driver's test and to be able to safely drive a car. But there's still room in there for your eyes to improve. So I work closely with optometrists, and I recommend to people who need glasses to use an undercorrected prescription.
I'm sure a lot of optometrists feel threatened by something that what your institute is putting out, these type of programs, yet it would seem that people that are interested in improving their eyesight would really have to go through a few extra pair of glasses to get to a point where their eyesight is really good. Like you're saying, undercorrected lenses probably several times in steps, graduated until a person could really graduate totally from needing any glasses. Do you find that that is in fact the case?
Well, most optometrists are concerned about the eyes of their patients, and whether they can squeeze a couple of more dollars out of you for an extra pair of glasses or not is not really what they're basically concerned with. If somebody's trying to lose weight, they have to do something as they lose weight with their wardrobe and get clothes that fit them all along the way. And same thing is true with glasses. As your eyesight gets clearer and clearer, your glasses are going to have to get weaker and weaker. But most people go back to the eye doctor and get stronger and stronger glasses. And, there's no reason why that has to happen.
Right. We're going to have to take some more breaks. Would you be able to stay on, Martin, until after the break? So I know you weren't able to spend the whole show with us.
I can stay for a few minutes after the break if there's a couple more calls.
Okay.
I'd be happy to take them.
Actually, we have about four calls online now, and we might have
Some
more.
Let's take a break and come back to the call.
Okay, we'll be right back then. Hi, welcome back to Insights from Beyond, Celebrating Judaism in the New Age. I'm Dave Abramson, and we have a special guest tonight, Martin Sussman, of the Executive Director of the Institute for Better Vision in Massachusetts. I keep forgetting the town, Martin. You'll have to forgive me.
Okay, it's Topsfield, Massachusetts.
Okay, thank you. And again, this is a good opportunity to give us your number again, if
people
you would.
People who would like free information about either the home study program for better vision or about the other nutritional products that we have for eye care. You can call our toll-free number, and it's 800-372-EYES, E-Y-E-S, or 800-372-3937.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad I got to mention that before I forgot, because you really do have some interesting stuff. We do have quite a few more callers, so I know you mentioned before that we could do that, so we're going to take advantage, and we'll go back to some of the lines. Connie, you're on Insights from Beyond.
Yes, I've been wearing glasses for the past 10 years and contact lenses for about 7. My contact lens prescription has never changed, and my glasses keep going up and up. Can you explain that? And would your institute help?
Okay. In terms of the first question, nobody knows exactly for sure why, when you wear contact lenses, your vision tends not to get worse. But one of the explanations is that the contact lens actually, in a way, acts as a almost like a girdle for the eyes, and it holds the eyes in a particular shape, and so it keeps it from becoming more and more distorted. So that is one strong theory about why contact lenses keep your eyes from getting worse. And will the Institute help? The program should help. It normally helps 97, 98 people out of 100, as long as they don't have medical problems. And so the help that it gets and how much your vision can improve, that's something that really does vary from person to person. We've had lots of people who no longer need glasses or contacts, and lots of people who've had some degree of improvement, maybe 20, 50, 70, 80%. And so they're still using glasses or contacts, but the glasses that they use are so much less strong than the ones that they used to need.
Okay.
So the answer is that, yes, probably you can get some help. How much is up to you.
Okay, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you, sorry. Sorry, are you still on?
Yes.
Okay, welcome to Insights from Beyond. You have a question or two?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You mentioned before that if you don't wear glasses. Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Go ahead.
Okay, you mentioned before if you don't wear glasses, you don't. It's not going to get worse. Your eyes are not going to get worse. Well, I have glasses, but I don't wear them, and it did become worse. And the doctor said it's because my muscles from the eye are so strained that it's getting worse.
Right.
I'm glad someone asked that question, because we have an alternative answer.
What I meant to say before was that wearing glasses is one of the things that can help your vision to decline, but you're getting at another one of the problems, and that is that the real thing is not about glasses or contacts. The real question is how well are your eyes working, and how correctly or are you using your eyes in the proper way? And if you're not seeing clearly, forget about glasses and lenses. If you're not seeing clearly, that indicates that's a symptom of a strain and a tension and an imbalance in your visual system. And that is, if that strain and that tension is not addressed in some way, it will keep your vision, it will push your vision downward. So the ultimate important thing is to restore the relaxation, the coordination, and the flexibility to your vision. And then you don't pick up that stress and that tension day in and day out in your eyes.
Right, but like if I don't wear my glasses, is it going to get worse than when I would wear my glasses?
Well, that's what I was saying before, is that generally speaking, if somebody is doing something good for their eyes, like using our home study program for better vision, if they're doing something good for their eyes, then in conjunction with that, the best thing to do is to use your glasses as little as possible.
Uh-huh. Right. We're not really making any recommendations per se. I don't know how to phrase it properly, but I can't tell
you about your eyes, you know, just from hearing what you say over the telephone. But what I'm telling you is what I've generally seen in working with all the people that I've worked with.
You know, Martin, you might not have been aware of this. You probably have been. Aldous Huxley, the English literate, wrote about sugar causing the retina muscles to become tense. And that's, he said that sometimes fasting was helping people also bring back their vision to a higher state.
Well,
dieting
would improve it, huh?
Well, actually, nutrition is a critical thing in vision, and there are lots of studies that show that children who are nearsighted tend to consume more sugar than children who aren't. And there's other nutritional problems in terms of the trace minerals, like I said before, chromium and selenium and some of the other minerals are very important. In fact, in the new book that I'm working on a chapter just on nutrition and vision. So it is important, very important.
And probably relaxation, just to be able to sit back and to accept the fact that my eyes are weak and that I can't see perfectly, even though, to have glasses and not wear them is a madriga. It's a level to say that, hey.
I don't use it for like beauty reasons, but, the doctor, whenever I go back, I'm like, I'll wear it, and I go back, and he says, like, it got worse because you're straining your eyes.
Yeah, how old are you? What kind of work do you do? Are you a student?
No, I'm 25, and I have a playgroup.
Okay, so you're not doing a lot of computer work and
no.
a lot of reading work, are
no.
you? Okay, so if your eyes, I mean, you could be straining your eyes consciously during the day, like you could be aware that, you know, when you try to see the kids across the room, you're squinting to do that. So you can be aware that you're consciously straining your eyes, and in that case, yes, it is important to consciously relax your eyes. Blink regularly, breathe in a relaxed way, and to see what you are seeing rather than strain and squint and try to see more. So consciously, as much as you can, relax your eyes. But then there's a whole way that we subconsciously are straining and tensing our eyes. And you know, you mentioned before about your eyes being weak, and truth is that nobody's eyes are weak, even if you can't see clearly. The muscles around the eyes are 150 to 200 times stronger than they need to be. It's never that your eyes are weak. What is true is that they develop tension and inflexibility. They become rigid, and so they don't change to be able to focus on something close and then change to focus on something far away. So they lose that flexibility, they lose that coordination, and that's what you're trying to regain when you use a program such as the Program for Better Vision.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important. We're not trying to make things stronger. We're trying to develop flexibility.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important point. I'm glad that got brought up.
Yes,
thank you
thank
for
you
calling.
Very much.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Miriam, you're on Insights from Beyond.
Hi, I missed the beginning of your program, so I don't know if you touched on the aspect of my question, which is I would be interested in knowing about a vision therapy program that I could do with my son to help him attain binocular vision.
Binocular vision?
Right.
Okay, how old is he?
Six.
Someone better explain that to me.
Binocular.
I probably have the wrong idea.
Binocular means to use both eyes together.
He alternates.
Right, he alternates, he uses one eye, even though both eyes are open, his mind is not using both eyes equally and together.
Right.
So you've been to doctors and they've diagnosed that problem?
Right.
And
but
have
they
any
feel
of them
there's
offered,
nothing to do about it.
They've all said there's nothing you can do about it?
Right.
I'm not sure where you're calling from. Are you near New York City?
I'm in Muncie.
Right, but I'm from Massachusetts. I don't know where Muncie is near.
Right, we're in the metro New York area.
Is it in Westchester County?
We're about 20 minutes from Westchester, right over the T's.
Okay, well then, if you call my office tomorrow morning, somebody in the office will give you the name of a doctor in Rye, I think, or somewhere in your area.
Right, that's pretty close.
I think I know who you're talking about, and I have contacted his office, but...
You are guessing, though. I mean, there are quite a few ophthalmologists in Rye.
Okay, well, I don't know how many of them do vision therapy.
But anyway, you contacted a doctor who says he does vision therapy, and what happened?
But they, you know, with some, you know, he felt it was like there were no guarantees, and he felt, you know, he wouldn't say how long vision therapy would have to continue. In other words, it could be something that you could just go on and on and on and on doing. And I'm looking for something that, you know, like, listen, either you know, yes or no, it could work, it can be done within a certain amount of time, or else it can't be done.
Right.
And if you're suggesting exercises at home, I would have really been interested in hearing something that I could try at home, and if I would, you know, get anywhere, then I would...
You wouldn't be interested? It seems that what you were saying, that you would certainly be interested because there wouldn't be the price factor as the cost factor so much. Am I reading wrong?
I would be interested in doing such a thing at home, and as I understand, your guest has, you know, therapy exercises to be done in the home.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And, but they may be helpful. I mean, the program for better vision has been used by children of all ages. I work with kids as young as 2 or 3 years old, so I've seen them respond really well.
As far as attaining binocular vision?
In many cases, but again, I can't tell you about your son just by hearing what you say over the radio, and I don't know what the particulars are that are involved that would lead a doctor who is well trained in vision training to say that to you. But I would, again, call our office tomorrow morning. It may be the same doctor, it may not be the same doctor. And if I'm in tomorrow morning, I can talk to you in more detail about it.
Okay, I appreciate that.
All right, the number again, toll-free for you, is 800-372-3937.
Thank you.
Okay.
And keep on with all the good routines, even, you know, even if the doctors don't offer you anything very, you know, very much to hope in terms of the methodology, there's still a lot of uncovered ground, and we never know, you know, where the answers will come from. Okay, thanks for calling me. I have somebody online too. I don't know who you are, but you're on Insights from Beyond. If you have a question or two, but it's got to be quick. You have to speak real loud though. Oh, that's it. Okay, go ahead.
Now I have glasses, but before I got glasses, I went to a doctor, and he told me that I'm nearsighted from one eye, the far sighted from the other. So he told me that I shouldn't get glasses, because if I ever want to see far sighted, I use the nearsighted, I switch off. And
wow.
I would like to know if you said about, you were talking about in the beginning of the show, you were talking about focus, you know, now goes easier. Will that affect anything?
How old are you?
14.
14? Okay.
Is that a unique case, Marty? Is that fairly unique? Also, we only have about two more minutes left.
That's unique, but it is unusual that people are that different in each eye, and that one eye is nearsighted and one eye is farsighted. I don't know the details of your situation as to how nearsighted one eye is or how farsighted the other eye is. Generally speaking, the first thing that we try to do is to get the two eyes to work together in an equal way, because if they're not working together, anytime you read or use a computer or watch television, you're putting an incredible amount of strain on your eyes. And you may not notice that directly, but you may notice it indirectly as far as your grades suffering in school or having to work and concentrate too much to be able to succeed well in school. So the first thing we try to do is to get both eyes to work together. And again, that would be the what I would recommend in general, but I don't know the details of your situation.
Marty, I guess that kind of wraps it up. We have some more callers that are still waiting online. I'll be, maybe we can get their numbers, or we can give them your number.
Thing to do would be to give them my number, and they can call and request the free package of information tomorrow.
Okay. Marty, it was terrific having you on. I had some more questions, but maybe it'll wait. I guess it'll have to wait. Maybe we'll do this again. It was really terrific.
I'm happy to do it again. I'm always eager to talk to people about their eyes, and there really is so much.
Okay. Actually, unfortunately, our listeners are going to have to say goodnight, but I can talk to you afterwards. So thanks, everyone, for being on the air. I'm Martin Sussman of the Cambridge Institute for Better Vision up in Topsfield, Massachusetts, has been our special guest tonight. And thanks for being on Insights from Beyond.